Oil was being poured on my daughter, and the oil was being poured on Renee, and I saw that the angel of God was standing right there at the very back of the room, carrying the horn of oil, getting ready for you to open your mouth, for you're about to see the goodness of God. If you're thirsty, he'll give you a drink. If you're hungry, he'll give you food to eat. We must be hungry and thirsty for the righteousness of God. Turn with me to 2 Samuel 6, please. 2 Samuel 6, verses 1 through 11. The title of this message is In Pursuit of His Presence. 2 Samuel 6, verses 1 through 11. On Wednesday night, the Lord gave me a word to share with you. And I'll begin to paraphrase this, but I'm going to take it out of this context here. David was returning the ark, but he did it in the wrong manner. In the process of doing that, a life was taken. And as a life is taken, the ark is moved now to someone's house who didn't ask for anything, was not seeking anything, was just being obedient to read the scrolls, to have an understanding that Christ is to come. But through all he knew is that God was Lord. In his own home, now what had struck someone dead has now entered into his home. But that very blessing came right into his home. What was a curse for one was a blessing for another. Don't miss this. What was a curse for one is a blessing for another. 2 Samuel 6, verses 1 through 11. Then David again gathered all the elite troops in Israel, 30,000 in all. He led them to Baalah of Judah to bring back the ark of God, which bears the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, who was enthroned between the cherubim. They placed the ark of God on a new cart and brought it from Abinadab's house, which was on a hill. Uzzah and Ahio, Abinadab's sons, were guiding the cart as it left the house. Carrying the ark of God, Ahio walked in front of the ark. David and all the people of Israel were celebrating before the Lord, singing songs and playing all kinds of musical instruments, lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. But when they arrived at the threshing floor of Nacon, the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah reached out his hand and steadied the ark of God. Then the Lord's anger was aroused and against Uzzah, and God struck him dead because of this. So Uzzah died right there beside the ark of God. David was angry because the Lord's anger had burst out against Uzzah. He named that place Perez Uzzah. Thank you, Jesus. Which means to burst out against Uzzah, as it is still called today. Verse 9. David was now afraid of the Lord, and he asked, "How can I ever bring the ark of the Lord back into my care?" So David decided not to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom of Gath. The ark of the Lord remained there in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his entire household. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. Now, Lord, show us the very nuggets of truth and revelation of your word, God. We thank you for it now as we pursue after your presence in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. I want you to see here on how David does something a new way, but it wasn't new. It was something that the people of the world did that was not the prescribed way. So he puts the cart, he puts the ark on a cart, a new cart, to bring it back. And the oxen are beginning to take it from a hill. Do you see where it says that it was in Abinadab's house and it was on a hill? How come we don't hear about anything happening to Abinadab? Being removed. Putting it on a cart. Putting it on the cart means you had to lift it. You had to touch it. No one got struck then. But it wasn't until it got into the place of people that should have already known better. You following me? See, sometimes some people get blessed even though they don't know what's going on. That's right. I just all of a sudden been getting blessed. I don't know what. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. But then when it comes to the people of God that shouldn't already know the ordinances of God and the right way to do things, all of a sudden now a life is taken. Because they should have known better. How many times have we gotten out of the things of God and done things our own way? Doesn't it hurt? Oh, Lord, it hurts. Lord, it hurts. Someone's life is taken. Watch this. One, someone just minding their own business, just sitting at home. He was just sitting there at home watching the television. Probably the honey in the house. His wife was watching HGTV. There's a knock at the door. Mira, honey, aquí está alguien. Someone's here. So he goes and opens the door, and here's the king. Do I bow? What do I do? Honey, the king is here. Quit playing. King David ain't in our house. Yes, my love. It is I, King David. Ay, pues, come on in. Come on in. Because I believe that his wife was saying, I made some fideo and some beans. Come on in. Some of y'all don't know about fideo. Y'all don't know about this. Just come on in. But the king says, wait a minute. I got to bring something to your house. Come on. Yeah, I told you, I see things a little bit different sometimes. Can you imagine now Obed-Edom saying, what are you going to bring? What are you going to bring? Well, we were moving the cart with the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark? Uh-huh. Well, you know, something happened. You know, I know Uzzah. He's one of the neighbors. He's down the road. We had barbecue the other day. Well, the oxen started to stumble, and Uzzah felt he had to study it. And yeah, what happened? Well, God killed him. So I'm going to bring it into your house. Let's just back it up just a little bit. How is it going to be where it's all right to bring something that just took somebody else's life into your house and you got to explain that to your wife? You know how kids, they have something to say, but they don't know how to say it. And wives, they just, what is it? This thing just killed somebody. What thing? The Ark of the Covenant. Uh-huh. What happened? Well, you know how husbands, they don't tell the whole story. But it almost fell on someone, you know, the Benejo over there, you know, the dumb one over there, he just reached out, tried to steady it, and then, you know, he died. He had a heart attack? No, God killed him. So why are you so nervous? Well, that thing's coming to our house. Well, I didn't make no room for it. And what about the kids? Come on. You know, if you tell them, don't touch it. You do it. No, you do it. I dare you. No, I double dog dare you. I've been at them. Mijo, what are you doing? Nothing. Think about it. Something that just took someone's life is now coming into your house. You didn't ask for it. You weren't praying for it. You were just doing what you're supposed to do. They could have said no. How many times has God come into your life and you didn't answer the door? Or you weren't home in position when it came to your house. When the blessing was on the way to your house. Maybe you were just out of position and you would have missed the greatest blessing. So I believe they said, bring that thing right in here. Put whatever you want to do, King. Whatever you want to do.
Imagine that door closed, probably a little curtain. You know, they didn't have those big doors. It's just a little curtain.
Wind blowing. And I bet you Obed-Edom and his wife sat there like, what do we do? What do we do with it? It doesn't say what they did, but it says what God did. For 3 months in his house, it says that Obed-Edom got blessed. Did it stop there? No. It says his whole household and family got blessed. Then the next knock. Do we let people know it's here? You know how you do, because you got something you don't want everybody to see. You know how you get when you get blessed, like, no, they got it. Because, you know, there's haters out there. They're going to be jealous and they're going to be cursing. Don't let them. Honey, come back, honey. Honey, come, honey. Hide it, because if they see it, then they're going to want to. But don't touch it. Don't touch it. Just cover it. Just cover it. Well, who's going to check on the door? Okay, well, you stay right there and I'll be right back. You got it? Okay. Okay. You got it? Oh, it's King David. It's King David. Let's hide. Okay. Yes, King. I've come to pick it up. He came to take our blessing. He came to take our blessing. He can't take it. Well, he brought it to our house. What's in my house is my house. It's mine. Right? You know, you probably think about that. Think about it. How Obed-Edom says, man, we've been getting blessed. Honey, well, honey, while the ark has been here, you've gotten so much prettier. And wifey says, honey, since the ark has been here, you've been getting more handsome. You think I'm kidding? I'm about to show you how the blessing of God in his presence will make things multiply in your life. So they said, do you want to come and take this? I'm going to pursue this presence. So David says, okay. I'm paraphrasing. You can tell this is, you're looking like, this doesn't say this in the Bible. Yeah. I didn't know that David spoke Spanish and they spoke Spanish. And they knew about Fidel. The Conchitas, forget about it. Forget about it. Look. So David says, you know what? We're going to move it. We're taking it into the city of David. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to put it in a new place. But I've inquired of the Lord. Now I found a way that was the prescribed way to do it. I need someone that wants to be a singer. What's Obed-Edom do? I'll do it. Well, I need someone to care for the ark and be a gatekeeper. Pick me, Obed-Edom. Well, I need someone that's going to minister in the temple with this and be there and be the gatekeeper of the south gate. Pick me, God. David, use me. Can you imagine what happens when you're in the presence of God? When the presence comes into your house. Oh, Lord, hear this. Some things that you maybe didn't have a desire to do now becomes the very thing that you desire to do. Because you want to be in his presence. See, he had an opportunity at that point to say, no, we'll stay here. We've been blessed enough. We'll just stay right here. But when they took it, he says, I will follow that presence. Honey, we're packing up when moving. Now, honey, saying, packing, leave it. Let's just go. If he blessed us this much while it was here, how much more as we continue to move in his presence and follow after him? How much more is he going to do for us? You're going to go serve in the temple. You're going to go and serve and protect the ark. You're going to go and serve and be a psalmist. You're going to sing and praise. You're going to praise God before the movement of the ark. Obed-Edom was in his house. He says, I need someone that will praise. Obed-Edom said, I got this. You need someone to pray. I know what he did for me right now. I know what he did in my house for 3 months. I know what he did. You ain't got to tell me how to praise God. I'm in the presence of God. Give me a temple. Give me a minstrel. And I will sing praises unto the Lord because something changed in my house. Pick me.
I bet you honey was looking and saying, that's my husband right there. My baby, you were saying that?
Oh, sucky, sucky. Do it, Obed-Edom. Go after God with all your heart, might, and soul. Do it, Obed-Edom. We're moving. I'm with you. Where are we going? It don't matter. Wherever that ark is, I'm going. As long as his presence is there, I'm following after him. I'm going to pursue his presence. I will go with you. I will continue to support you. I'll continue to stand by your side because I've experienced something by watching you in the presence of God. Woo-wee. Obed-Edom said, come on, baby. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. And I'm going to step into position now. I didn't know what my position was. Didn't know what my calling was. I didn't know what my ministry was. But now I do. Being in the presence of God got revealed to him. Ooh. Yeah, baby, you can change. Come knock on my door and bring me something that killed somebody. Comes into my house, though. It blesses me. Shoo. See, on verse 18 of 1 Chronicles 15. Watch this. Go 1 Chronicles 15. 1 Chronicles 15, verse 18, says he became a musician and a gatekeeper. Verse 24, a doorkeeper. All of this happened just because the presence of God entered his house. Entered his house. Now, because David inquired of the Lord how to move the ark. See, the first time it says that when he was out there, he was just doing it with song and shout and dance and hallelujahs. But this time, it was with sacrifice, shouts, praise, and hallelujah. But they carried the ark on the shoulders of the high priest. See, it requires us to continually have his presence on us. That's why Obed-Edom said, this is something new. This is something different. I'm going to pursue after it. I'm not going to let go of it. I'm going to continue to pursue after it. And whatever the Lord is asking me to do, I do. Amen. His desire and the love and the faithfulness begins to bless him and promote him. So he gets into these positions. But more importantly, he continues and pursues after the presence of God like never before. He's worshiping with 68 associate ministers with him in the very presence of God. 68 other people worshiping in the presence of the ark, the presence of God, and Obed-Edom's right there. Can you imagine when God promotes you and you were just sitting there doing your own thing? You were just sitting there minding your own business. You weren't seeking promotion. You weren't seeking any kind of position. But God watched your faithfulness towards him. Amen. And in that faithfulness towards him and not wavering, not quitting, not giving up, God visits him in his house and then begins to promote him because of his heart. You want to see someone that has been in the presence of God? The fruits will tell. We're right there. Fruits will tell. It'll tell you exactly who's been in the presence of God or who's been saying they are and are not. The fruits will tell you everything. Obed-Edom was so blessed. Watch this. Not only his ministry and his relationship with the Lord got blessed, but God gives him 8 sons. Didn't I tell you when the ark was in the house? Wifey, you looking so sooky, sooky. Wifey looking at husband, honey, you are looking sooky, sooky. Eight boys. Eight boys. Eight. Mama only had one, and she's like, Lord, I give this one to you. Come on, come on. You know you got some kids out there like, Lord, thank you for this child you blessed me with, but I give him back to you, Lord. I place him on the altar right now, Lord. Use him. Bless him. She had eight. Obed-Edom had eight sons. Eight sons. They had enough to have a basketball team with some subs. Can you imagine that? But watch this. Watch this. Watch. They were all part of it. Guess what his sons did? His sons were keepers of the storehouse. What happens when the presence of God is in your life? It not only blesses you, but it blesses your children and your grandchildren. When you learn how to pursue after his presence, it changes things. You see, if we're so worried about making someone follow along, you're not following. You have to follow God. They'll follow you. That's what Obed-Edom and his wife did. They followed the presence of God. And by following the presence of God, when the children came too, they saw them diligently serving God, seeking his presence, doing the things of God. And by doing so, the children followed. It didn't stop there. Then the grandkids come along. Grandkids come along and see that their parents and their grandparents are doing something, and they continue to follow along. See, a blessing of the Lord is generational. When you see you get in the presence of God, he blesses you, but not just you. He blesses the generations that are following you. And if you're looking down your lineage and saying, but they're not following, you pursue after his presence. You pursue after him. You continue to pursue after them. Don't you look back and try to grab hold of them. You keep pursuing. Because in that pursuit, they're going to see that you're diligently seeking after him. Then, the ones that didn't want to follow, the ones that got a little ornery, the ones that had a tendency to always buck the system, trying to do things their way, like Burger King, do it their way. The truth of the matter is, if you pursue God, quit worrying about everybody else and how they pursue God. You pursue God. And when you pursue God in his presence, the blessings come down. And they flow down through the lineage. Not just for the parents, but the grandparents are going to be so blessed they see it. Do you know his legacy had 62 children in all? Kids, grandkids, great grandkids, great, 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 great. Do you see how that blessing works? That blessing is there because Obed-Edom was faithful. His attitude and his actions created a legacy of faith. The relationship with the Lord was his basis. Everything he understood was because the presence of God was in his home. And when you make the presence of God resident in your home, your outside becomes your inside. Your outside begins to look like what was taking place on the inside. Not just your inside being blessed and your outside looking ragged and tagged. What you're going to start to do is start doing things of God and the kingdom of God. And all of a sudden people can see that the outside is the same as the inside. You're no longer faking it anymore. You're actually going through and doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're pursuing after God and you're continuing on regardless of what people are saying or doing and talking about you. You keep doing it anyhow. Woo! God changes things from the inside out so that when you get into the very presence of God, you are now able to just worship God, praise God, and you're not doing it just for show. You're not doing it just to be seen. You're doing it because it's actually coming from your spirit. I love you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. Your mercy endures forever. And in your presence, you are good and good all the time. I thank you, God, that everything that I do, I give praise and honor to you. See, now your praise becomes something that is within and something that should come outward from you. Pursuing after the presence of God. Can you imagine if he didn't pursue? Him and his wife would have been blessed. But the pursuing multiplied. The pursuing multiplied him. We have to be hungry and thirsty after his righteousness. Matthew 5:6-7. Matthew 5:6-7 says, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Hear this. God is looking for a people that thirst and hunger for righteousness. What righteousness? His. And as you seek his, he'll begin to release to you goodness even more. Bible says in Matthew 6:33 out of the King James says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, what did Obed-Edom do? He sought after the righteousness. He sought after the presence. He went after the very thing that he witnessed in his home. He pursued it. He left where he was to continue on to move with the presence of God. We have to be ready to move when God says so. Don't delay. The Father in heaven is crying out within his spirit for those to stir up the desire within. He wants us to be passionate for him, to be hungry and to be thirsty for him. When you hunger and thirst for something, you do what it takes to be satisfied. I have been in a place where I've been so thirsty. Saliva couldn't even manifest in my mouth. It was like nothing but cotton. But then there was something inside of me saying, I need something that's not going to just quench it, my thirst. I need something that's going to begin to fill me and continually give me drink when I need drink. You see, when we don't get in the presence of God frequently, that should be a lifestyle. That lifestyle should be that you're pursuing God for yourself. I can't pursue God for my wife. I have to pursue God for myself. I have to let God make me whole before I can work on her trying to be whole. Likewise, the same thing. I can't expect her to be in the presence of God and not me. She has got to desire God and be able to let God work in her. She can pray for my wholeness, but the reality is God's going to work on hers. We can look for our kids and say, God bless my children. We can declare a blessing, but the more you pursue after his presence, the more you pursue after him and seek him first, then he'll do a work when you don't think it's going to happen. See, I remember a time in my life when, of course, I was a little sideways with my mother, and it hurt me, it wounded me. And she says, I have given you to the Lord. I didn't know what that meant. She says, but I've given you to the Lord. And that time in my life, it was so hard because it was my ways, doing things my way. When I perceived it to be right, it wasn't right. And I hurt my mother. It hurt our relationship. She says, but I've given you over to the Lord. And the Lord began to do a work in me. And everything that took place in my life was intentional. It hurt. The Bible says that you honor your mother and your father so that you have long life in the land. I know that my mom looked at me and says, son, you're a blessing. You're called of God. You don't see it yet, but you're his. And in the timing of God, there will be some changes in your life. So I give you over to him. How many of you know when you tell someone the truth, they don't like to hear it? They don't like to hear it. Get mad. What are you talking about? You know how you can tell someone's lying? Tell them the truth, they get mad. Call it what you may. The Lord told me during this season of my life, my mother turned me over to the Lord. things started happening in my life. It was like I was losing control. I wanted to kill myself. I wanted to commit suicide. I wanted to do it in a way that would just drink myself into the grave. Take drugs, and maybe the drugs would take me out. Then it wasn't until the Lord sent me a very strong wake-up call that I realized what that meant when she said, "I'm giving you to God." Because when he shakes you to wake you up. And when I woke up, I realized something. If it hadn't been for the praise, if it hadn't been for the praise of my mom being on her face concerning me, I would have never been in the very grace and hand of God requiring mercy in my life. I had a gun pointed to me right at my temple in a Taco Cabana restaurant. I said, "Pull the trigger. Take me out of my misery. I don't want to go on anymore." I said, "Pull it." Young man looked at me and he says, "You crazy." So I took his own gun, took it away from him, hit him with it, and took his drugs. Then gave him the gun back. It should have been taken out right there. But through the prayers, kept me. Mercy endures forever. She stayed in the presence of God for her son, me. She pursued God for herself. And along the way, I had to pursue God for myself. We don't know when that's going to happen. But one thing I do know is that when I pursued God for myself, I became a better husband to my wife. I became a better father to my kids. I became a better son to my mother. Why? Because the blessing of God adds no sorrow. You want to be blessed? And say you're a blessing to someone, add no sorrow to them. Oh, I'll say it one more again. One more again. You want to be a blessing to someone? Don't add sorrow to them. Be a blessing, not a curse. The Bible says this, that who can curse the people of God when God has blessed them? I'll tell you what, when I was in here on Thursday afternoon, hung up my flags. I said, "Lord, we will continually pray for the peace of Israel." And I got on my face. I said, "Lord, protect your people. Keep them safe. Bless them. Raise them up to be a great nation." And I began to intercede on behalf of the people of God. And that's when God said, "Now rise, son. Rise. For you have stepped into a new day. I'm renewing your strength. I'm renewing vision. And you will see I'm rebuilding what the enemy tried to destroy." So, Lord, I don't want to miss this. I don't want to miss things that you have in store for me. He says, then remember this. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I got on my face. I began to confess things that I knew, things that I didn't know, and things that maybe I may step into not even knowing. I said, "Lord, if it's me, forgive me. If it's not me, forgive me anyway, because I'm about to do something somewhere down the line." But I asked for forgiveness. And then he reminded me about Solomon. When he dedicated the temple that his daddy didn't build. Woo. David knew how to carry presents after he made a mistake by doing it his way. Once he realized how to carry, he placed it in a tent. But it wasn't until the lineage, his son, Solomon, that builds the temple and builds it great and grandiose like never before. Big and beautiful. That his son builds and carries on a legacy that his dad could not do. See, some things that we're doing and fighting for and plowing through isn't for us. is for those that are coming up behind us. Those that are saying, I would do greater than what my father did. I would do greater than what my mama did. I will be greater than what I've seen those before me go and do. I just got to see and learn to pursue God for myself. I've got to study the word. I've got to be in the presence. I've got to pray and seek his face. But I got to know God for myself. I got to know that he's there for me and he's not against me. He's there to lift me up when I'm down. He's there to take me to a level I've yet to achieve. He's there to give me eyes to see when I cannot see. He's there to speak to me in the times of trouble and say, prophesy unto this mountain. You're going to see some things change in your life. But you first got to come humbly before the very presence of God and cry out to him for forgiveness. If you have aught against your brother, he says that you will go and ask for forgiveness. If you have something that holds an offense towards someone, release it by asking for forgiveness. We said we want revival. We can't even act right in church. We want miracle signs and wonders, but we come against our own brothers and sisters. We want to see outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We got to get it right in the church. We got to treat each other with respect and love. You want to see a miracle? Learn how to love your neighbor. We want to see increase. We want to see Shekinah glory. Solomon went and he sat before the people in the temple. And he made sacrifices of oxen. I said, what is it about the oxen? You got to understand my people. The oxen were there to tread the fallow ground. When it's hard, it's difficult. You put the oxen, yoke them together, and you were going to break up the fallow ground. There's some things that are going to make some things hard in your life. But he says that the oxen are going to break that fallow ground. It's going to open up the things of your heart so that you can receive the word of God. And then afterwards, after you use that animal, I need that very thing that you think is going to get you someplace. Put it on the altar. Sacrifice it. And trust me. Say, God, I trust you. What are you telling me to do? Dedicate this temple unto the Lord. I said, Lord, this is your house. This is your house. It's not mine. You ain't mine. You're God's. You have a responsibility to do things right by the principles and precepts of God and not take it out of order and do it your way. Because if you put it on a new card to try to do it without the prescribed way, you're about to be dead in your tracks. And it says that when it killed Perez, Uzzah, watch this, Perez is the breaker's anointing. Perez is the breaker's anointing. To break forth. I'm telling you right now that there is a breaker's anointing getting ready to break some things open for you. To establish it in your life. Bring it into your household. See, when David decided to move it this time, he inquired of the Lord. Bring me the ephod. Stripped his praise clothes off. Stripped his kingly anointing off. And he got in, wrapped himself in the ephod. And says, now I take my position as a priest. And I become before your very presence, God. And inquire of you before I do anything. We can't just do things out of our emotions. It'll get you in trouble every single time. You got to pursue God after you've asked and inquired God. What do I do in this circumstance? What do I do in this situation? How do I handle this, God? And if you sit and wait on the Lord, he will give you an answer. It's that waiting process we don't like. Most of us think, well, the waiting, we don't do anything. No, in the waiting, Obed-Edom said, I'm going to pursue after you. I don't know what you have for me, but I'm going to pursue after your presence. I don't know what's going to take place when I leave this house and when I leave everything that I once knew. But one thing that happened is when you came into my life, God, with that very ark, I knew there was something that changed in my life. It changed me and my family. It changed me and my wife. It changed our relationship. It changed everything that could have been going wrong in our life. It changed it. It changed the relationship between the father and the son. It changed between the mother and the daughter. It changed the relationship. Why? Because the presence of God will make change in your life if you allow it. Followed after him. After the presence of God. Say, God, I'm going to pursue you. I'm not slowing down. And I'm not quitting. It may get hard. Has to. It only proves what's inside of you. So my storms, God, have been buffeting me from different sides. I feel there's a thorn in my side that cannot be removed. What is it, God? I said, do you know who you are? I said, I'm a prophet of the Most High God. You've called me to be a high priest in this season of my life. But you've called me to do greater and mighty things in you, God. He says, then every time that you begin to speak, speak of the goodness of God. And every time that you begin to speak, declare my goodness in the atmosphere. And you'll see the goodness begin to penetrate into the hearts and lives of the people. Is it hard? Yes, it's going to be hard. Why? Because the enemy is out to sift you like wheat. I say, God, but I don't want to be sifted. I'm tired of being sifted. He says, every time you're planting good seed, the enemy has come in and put seeds of deception. Well, let me take those weeds out. He says, don't do it yet. When your harvest comes, we harvest it together. But my wind in the sifting will remove the tares. Ooh. You ever had something come against you that needs to be removed? Jezebel's one of them. I laugh now. I laugh. Bye, Jezebel. Bye, Jezebel. See ya. See ya. You see, in second service, we'll just second service. Get out of Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom, God bless. Hallelujah. Amen. He pursued the presence of God. Amen. Now, you know how you deal with Jezebel? Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Because Jezebel tries to manipulate and coerce things for her benefit. Spirit. It's no longer a her. It's not a woman. It's a spirit. Because it's a spirit, it works through people. It works through people. Why does it work through people? Because people have a tendency to have rejection issues, abandonment issues. And when they do that, they have to make things work in their favor. So they manipulate things so it can come out the way they want it. Well, manipulation and control is witchcraft. I'm going to get what I want to get. Don't care how I get it, but I'm going to get it. That's what Jezebel did. And Jezebel begins to paint herself to make it look so pretty. And begins to declare as a prophet of God. False prophets come up. The Lord says, keep your eyes on me, son. Keep your eyes on me. Because where I'm taking you, oh, you're going to have a whole bunch of attacks. What? Obed-Edom. What was that cart? It killed Uzzah. And you're bringing it to my house? This is when the Lord quickened me. He says, didn't I not tell you when we were in Pasadena, Texas, and Keith Miller looked over at you and he says, you are an instrument for revival and you shall be used. And he looked over and told me that we were sitting there in the office. We don't understand why we go through what we go through. But it's to bring an end to a spirit that is working behind the scenes. And then when it's done away with, harvest. Harvest comes. Harvest comes. You know what that harvest is? My God, everything that you've been sowing seed for, everything you've been believing God for, everything you've been declaring in the atmosphere, everything that you've been saying God is going to do, he's about to do. See, then the enemy can't stop it, but he tries. He tries. He sends all workers of iniquity to come in and do it. But God says, steady yourself. Encourage yourself. He says, I want you to look over your notes. I've been telling you what's coming. You've been prophesying in the atmosphere what is coming. Now you want to see the result of what I was showing you? Your harvest is near. I said, Lord, I'm not missing this. Matter of fact, I'm going to call within the camp of Jezebel, who is for me and for the Lord? Cast her over. Cast over that wall. Nothing pretty about it. So much so that the dogs ate her up. Dogs ate her up. Why the dogs? Yeah, Pastor, why the dogs? Why the dogs? Dogs can be loyal. Dogs say, I'm going to do what God has instituted in me to do. I'm going to eat the trash that has been thrown out. Jakey went out to, okay, let's go bury that woman. There ain't nothing there. The dogs already ate her. Guess what? The own seeds that she sown were the very things that took her out. Jezebel gets taken out by what she's been sowing anyhow. So I serve notice to the spirit of Jezebel right now. We stay focused on the Lord and pursue his presence. And what he has commanded us to do, we do in obedience. I'm not delaying my obedience. I'm pursuing it with all I've got. And with everything that I have and every fiber of my being, I pursue after the things of God. When anything wants to come contrary to the very mission and vision of the house, I serve notice now that God shall prevail. God shall prevail. And we will see the fullness of his blessing in our life. Amen. When the Lord told me that greater attacks are coming, I said, what you have for me, God, must be big. It must be big. I said, Lord, if it's that big, I want to give me something that's going to keep me all the way through. So I spent some time on the patio. This is just my family. It's on my patio yesterday. Barbecuing and just relaxing. And I spent some time on my patio and I heard the Lord say, your increase is great. Your harvest is plentiful. Watch this, Popo. I saw some trucks show up. And they were full. Like dump trucks. Remember that vision y'all had? And they were full. And it was like stuff was just falling out. They were so full. And immediately I went, those are the souls, God. Those are the souls that we have to reach. We have to pursue after the things of God. I ain't gonna lie to you. It's hard. It's hard. But if it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. I said, Lord, if whatever you want to do, I trust you. I trust you. How many of you trust him? Trust him. Stand to your feet.